You know, this war in the Middle East may be the perfect spark for cold fusion. Low energy nuclear reactions, as they're called, LENNR. And remember, first demonstrated in 1989, Fleischmann and Pons, University of Utah, Salt Lake City, I believe. And it has been mocked ever since as fraudulent, but it's not fraudulent. It's just not well understood. And there are hundreds of labs that have replicated cold fusion experiments all over the world, including the United States Navy, by the way. And there is at least one company in the United States that is commercializing cold fusion technology and has signed, as my understanding, I've been told they've signed a licensing deal with a major industrial manufacturer outside the United States. I don't want to say which country, but it's a country that manufactures a lot of, let's say, boilers and heating devices. And remember that cold fusion works slowly. It works by heating water. So it generates excess heat by converting mass of, I believe it converts heavy water mass into heat energy. And then it leaves behind the telltale signs that a nuclear fusion event took place, such as helium, for example. Now, I'm not an expert on cold fusion. I've covered it here and there over the years. I've interviewed some people on it. But I do know that it works. And I do know that it's incredibly effective at heating water, which means that water can be circulated to heat buildings. But if you can concentrate that heat into a relatively small amount of water, then you can turn water into steam. And steam, as you know, expands. The volumetric expansion is very powerful, and then that expansion can drive steam turbines, which is how nuclear power plants work. The nuclear energy, in that case, fission energy, will heat the water, and then the water turns to steam and drives the turbines. So, if you can heat water to boiling point, then wow, you have an amazing energy solution. And one of the interesting things about cold fusion is that it uses some exotic elements, such as palladium, in a certain matrix. And this is part of what's not well understood, at least in my knowledge, is exactly how it works well. And labs are still trying to figure out how to optimize this, but palladium is part of it. These exotic elements are necessary, but they're not consumed in the process, which is great news because it means, you know, you build it once and then you can use it for decades. You do have to feed it heavy water, but only in very small amounts. Now, remember that when you're talking about mass conversion into energy, it doesn't take much mass to create a lot of energy. And for example, the atomic bomb detonated in World War II over Hiroshima, that entire atomic bomb only converted 0.7 grams of mass. So less than, you know, a dog treat in your palm. Less than that. 0.7 grams of mass was converted into energy, which resulted in roughly around 16 kilotons equivalent of TNT. So think about that. So in order to power your home, a typical home may only use, let's say, 3 kilowatts throughout the day. So I don't know, you want to call it, let's say, 75 kilowatt hours of power. And a lot of homes use less than that. Let's say 50 kilowatt hours, whatever. It doesn't take much mass to do that. We're talking, I don't know, micrograms per day of mass in order to achieve that. And the mass that's available for this is found in all the world's oceans. So you don't have to worry about the Strait of Hormuz if you can just get your fuel from the ocean. You see what I mean? So the reason that this technology has been suppressed all these years is because, of course, the governments of the world have wanted to run the world on an oil economy in order to induce artificial scarcity as a means of control. and also a means of suppression. They want to suppress humanity, keep people down, make sure that people don't have strong economic mobility, cut down on people's travel, etc. But also, importantly, to consolidate power in the hands of those who control the oil. That's why there is this war in the Middle East right now. It's about who controls the energy that powers the world, the energy that powers industry, manufacturing, and more recently, AI data centers. Because whoever has the most abundant energy can power the most microchips to build the best AI to more quickly arrive at superintelligence, which would dominate the world, most likely. So energy control has been the goal of the powers that be. And cold fusion was always seen as too decentralized, because technically you could build this in your garage. You could run a cold fusion unit. That is, once you know the right recipe, you know, how much palladium, what configuration, how does this go together, etc. Once you know the recipe, this can be replicated quite readily and in a decentralized fashion. All of a sudden, people could live off-grid and you can't monitor them with smart meters. All of a sudden, people could recharge their electric vehicles by, well, effectively having a cold fusion unit in their garage that just generates power 24/7, even at a slow rate, you know, even if it's just putting out 1 kilowatt. Over time, you know, I mean, in a day, that's 24 kilowatt hours, right? So that becomes substantial. Even small units like that can recharge EVs overnight without having to use grid power and without having to use solar power, etc. So this is why cold fusion has been suppressed this entire time, is engineered energy scarcity. But because of what's happening in the Middle East, and we don't yet know how this is going to ever get resolved, but the way it's going right now, it's going to put Iran in charge of about 20% of the world's energy. That is, if Iran continues to control the Strait of Hormuz, which seems to be the case, at least so far. If that happens, then Europe is in deep trouble. Already we've seen the Chancellor of Germany say that they need to urgently build 12 nuclear power plants, and they're talking about rebuilding the Nord Stream pipeline and buying cheap Russian gas once again. My, how things have changed, right? That's because Germany is collapsing due to a lack of abundant energy. But when you look at European countries, you know, they've built solar. Germany built a lot of solar over the years. The problem is Germany is too far from the equator. And so the solar efficiency, you know, year round is not very good. Not in Germany, not in Britain, you know, not in France, etc. That whole region is not really ideal for solar. Too far north. Same thing with Canada. You know, same thing with, let's say, Japan, you know, to a large degree, etc. So the thing about cold fusion is it doesn't require the sun to shine. It doesn't require the wind to blow. And it doesn't require, you know, the right weather or the right latitude or the right season or anything like that. It generates power 24/7 in a controllable, you know, non-exploding, you know, it's not going to go nuclear into a giant atomic bomb mushroom cloud. It doesn't work that way. We're talking about slow fusion. In fact, slow fusion might be a better name for it than cold fusion. That's why it's called low energy nuclear reactions. It's low energy. It's barely happening. Otherwise, you know, it would boil off all the water. It's just heating the water. And this is incredibly useful for our world right now in the context of this new war in the Middle East, in the context of natural gas being offline and oil being offline, etc. Now, cold fusion doesn't replace hydrocarbons that are needed for ammonia production, for, you know, example, urea and nitrogenous fertilizers. So you still need hydrocarbons for a number of reasons. But in terms of just heat and raw power, cold fusion can be made incredibly viable, incredibly practical, and incredibly affordable. And all of that, yeah, is, I think, going to be accelerated by this war in the Middle East. Now, one of the things that has held back cold fusion is that many of the companies involved in it, or almost everyone, they've tried to patent it because they saw it as the single most important technology for world abundance, and they saw that the tech was worth effectively trillions of dollars in, you know, revenues over time. And given that cold fusion has some substantial R&D costs up front for experiments and optimization, deployment, manufacturing, etc., and also, you know, acquisition of palladium, things like that, they wanted to have a return on investment, which is, that's understandable. That's not unreasonable. If you tell investors, hey, I need you to put $500 million into this project, then you need patent protection typically in order to be able to, you know, pay off the investors. But as a result, many of the patents got confiscated by the United States government, because what happens with any kind of so-called free energy device is the patent office will send it over to the U.S. government, and the government will say, oh, well, we're going to take the patent now, we're going to classify it as top secret, and therefore you cannot have this patent. So over the decades, the U.S. government has just stolen many patents just to bury them, you know, to maintain the oil economy and the engineered energy scarcity that the government uses to control people. So the only way I believe for cold fusion to really take off is for somebody to invent a practical decentralized construction method and then to just open source it. Just open source it. Like, I've open sourced a lot of stuff. I believe in open source. I mean, my book site, you know, the AI book creation engine that I built called brightlearn.ai, we're approaching 50,000 books, and every one of those books is open sourced. So you can download them for free. And we have audiobooks coming online now. Thousands of audiobooks are already, or maybe not thousands, but approaching 1,000 are already done. And you can download those audiobooks completely free, just the MP3 files. I've also open sourced an AI language model that many people have downloaded and used. And I believe in open source. I believe that open source is the only way that we're going to get to anything resembling free energy. Because anybody that tries to patent any of these devices, those patents are going to get confiscated. Open source bypasses centralized control, and it allows independent inventors and small teams to still get credit for it in the sense of, you know, having your name on it or being cited or you know, maybe being well known in the press or something. But you're not going to earn royalties on the tech, because everybody will be able to make it themselves. That's the only way that we as a species are going to succeed in bypassing the central systems of control, because they control all the doors. They're the gatekeepers. They decide what technology is allowed to go out and what they're going to confiscate. And the only way to bypass that is to make sure they don't even know about it. So if anybody's out there listening and you want to change the world for the better, then, you know, create a cold fusion how-to guide, like a DIY cold fusion in your garage, and just release it for free. Let everybody build it and use it. That's the only way this is ever going to happen. And as you're doing this, don't talk about it, because they'll come kill you, by the way. Yes, that's exactly what will happen. So don't talk about it until it's done. Just release it, like put it on GitHub, you know. put up a GitHub repo. Put it on the BitTorrent sites. Post it to all the video sites. Like spread the word everywhere. I mean, I can help people do that. I know how to do that. But I don't have time to work on cold fusion technology myself, and I'm not even pretending that it's super simple. It's probably going to take somebody, you know, a real concerted effort to simplify this and make it practical. So until that happens, we're going to live under energy scarcity, is my guess. And I understand people can do solar farms, and they can do, I don't know, like Stirling engines with heat, you know, like focus solar energy into like ceramic blocks and things like that, and convert that to kilowatt hours using Stirling engines or whatever. there's a number of different ways. You know, you could do like parabolic mirrors focused on like pipes with water and turn them into steam and have steam drive turbines and things like that. There's a number of different systems out there. You know, wind also on top of that. And that's all great. But none of that stuff is very reliable because the sun doesn't shine all the time. And the thing about solar energy is, you know, it's only, you're only getting it when the sun is shining. And then what do you do for the rest of the darkness? Well, then you have to have batteries. And now things get very expensive and very complicated. Now you're talking about how many charge discharge cycles. And then you have to have, you know, inverters and controllers and all this kind of stuff. With cold fusion devices, you don't need batteries because the battery is the mass. The battery is the heavy water, in essence, and you can convert the heavy water into kilowatts through the process of cold fusion and steam turbines, etc., which can all be miniaturized, you know? This doesn't have to be a big thing. It can be a small thing. It can be about the size of an outdoor, you know, air conditioning unit right now attached to a typical home. So, like, the size of, you know, an automatic dishwasher appliance or something like that. Something that size with cold fusion could probably generate, you know, I don't know, 1 to 3 kilowatts 24/7 is my point. But somebody needs to engineer that. And maybe this will be, this war will be the thing that sparks that level of innovation. So if anybody's listening and you're going to do this or you're interested in doing it, I'm interested in helping you publicize it when that day comes, if that day comes. I would love to help you publicize it. I would love to, I mean, again, I don't have time to do this myself. I'm busy with a bunch of AI projects. But if somebody out there wants to do it, I would love to help you publicize it. I would love to help you like quality control it, try to build a unit, etc., and get the word out for humanity. If we can decentralize power in this fashion, it changes everything for the better. It ends the corrupt energy regimes. You know, we're living under effectively energy regimes, energy strangulation. And why? Why? The laws of physics tell us that we don't need to live as slaves under an energy. Actually, it's the energy Epstein regime, if you think about it, right? Yeah, they constrict energy, you know, and they rape children. So neither one of those is good. So maybe we could make all that obsolete with decentralized so-called free energy that's actually consistent with the laws of physics. That's my goal. So stay tuned. I will keep you posted if I hear anything about any of this or other forms of renewable energy that might be just more readily accessible, such as steam turbines or things like that. I guess we'll find out. You can follow me at brightvideos.com, and you can see my articles at naturalnews.com. And if you want to use my AI tools, I've got our book engine at brightlearn.ai, and it's free, and you can download the nearly 50,000 books. And then I've also got brightanswers.ai, which is our AI research engine. And it's people rave about how great it is. Comprehensive research, full citations, near zero hallucinations. So check that out, brightanswers.ai. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for listening. Take care. Yes, the world is getting crazy, but here at the Health Ranger store, we're putting together a survival supply assortment for you. If you go to healthrangerstore.com/survival, you'll see what we put together for you, including iodine and iosat. That's a specific brand name of potassium iodide that's FDA approved. Or we have the nascent iodine here, which is less expensive in terms of the iodine that you get. These are available in case things go nuclear. It's clear that you will not be able to find any of this for sale anywhere. All the inventories will be wiped out, like what happened after Fukushima in 2011. So if you want to get your hands on some iodine, this is a chance to get it right now. healthrangerstore.com/survival. In addition, we have many other survival items for you here, including some silver solutions, some spirulina available in bulk and at a discount, and then a large assortment of storable organic food that's laboratory tested, including our Ranger Bucket sets. Here's a 195-day supply. We've got the mini buckets, and we've also got
number 10 cans available of freeze-dried fruits and vegetables and other things like miso soup powder. Here's some of the buckets. There's a big variety available. Here are some of the number 10 cans right here. Remember, a lot of people are missing fruit. They don't have enough vitamin C in their storable food. So, you know, getting bananas and pineapples and strawberries, especially, again, certified organic, freeze-dried. That is the highest quality with the highest nutrient preservation that you can get in any kind of a storable food format. All of this is available right now and so much more. Just go to healthrangerstore.com/survival. And because the freeze-dried foods last for so long, you know, even if you don't eat them this year or next year, just keep them on the shelf. They're going to last a very long time with good preservation, a long shelf life, and they will have value no matter what happens in the world. Now, of course, I'm praying for peace. I'm praying for de-escalation. I don't want to see World War III break out, and I certainly don't want it to go nuclear. But we're dealing with insane times and insane leaders and insane situations. Who knows what could happen tomorrow or next week? Disruptions could happen here in the United States. There could be, you know, domestic attacks that disrupt supply chains here in the U.S. So stock up early, stock up now, get your emergency food, emergency medicine, iodine, anything else that you think that you might need. Get it now. And by doing so, by shopping with us, you'll be supporting our platforms and our AI engines that we offer for free. That's funded in part by sales from our store. So shop with us at healthrangerstore.com/survival and help yourself get prepared and also help us bring you more free tools and platforms that can keep you informed no matter what happens in the world. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for your support. God bless you all. Take care.